Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017.
Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live on Crowdcast. Yeah, it's a little lonely out there this morning, but hey, it's all good. You guys can still catch this show on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, Crowdcast Replay. Will be posted tomorrow along with the recorded version of this show. For those of you that are going to watch it that way, great. Those of you that are joining me later, great. So anyways, Village, we got a whole bunch of topics we're going to be discussing here. Some good stuff, some bad stuff, just some stuff that needs to be addressed. So let's go ahead and jump into this. It's just me right now. We'll see if I can get Slink on later on. If not, we'll just carry on and keep it pushing. So let's go ahead and jump into this first topic here, first segment, What the Trump. First 100 days is officially in the books, right? And so with that in mind, there are certain things that you have to, in a sense, look at, reevaluate, whatever you want to say it, right? But the biggest thing that I'm taking from this big 100 days is kind of the flip-flop mentality of President Trump. Now, initially, you know, he stated in multiple campaign ads and things of that nature that he was literally going to accomplish this in the first 100 days. But then the backtracking began, and now it seems like this 100 days is kind of subjective and things of that nature, right? And so with that in mind, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and play a little clip. This gentleman here, Keith Olbermann, you guys, some of you may have heard him. Some of you may not have heard of him. But I'm literally going to play this clip. I'm not going to put it up on video because I don't know rights and stuff like that, but I can at least at the minimum play the audio for you guys. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play the audio, let you guys listen, and then we're going to go from there. All right. So I hope you guys can understand what he's trying to say and what's going on.
As we hit the 100-day benchmark of the Trump, quote, presidency, unquote, let's review his accomplishments. He's gotten nothing done. With Republican House and Republican Senate and a Russian election in the first 100 days, he's gotten nothing done. With the great nationwide, worldwide liberating effects of the populist wave to throw the baby out with the bathwater, in the first 100 days, he's gotten nothing done. With one television network dedicated to deliberately falsifying reality to make it fit his addled mind as he sits in a bathrobe watching it, with other networks wasting live coverage on his public speeches, his garbled, nonsensical stream of semi-consciousness, as if they were actually news. In the first 100 days, he's gotten nothing done. This truth, utter impotence, is of course his greatest fear. Here's all the legislation he was going to, at minimum, get introduced into Congress. A bill to create 25 million new jobs. Nope. A bill to punish sending jobs out of the country. Nope. A bill to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. Nope. A bill to give parents total choice on schooling, even religious schooling, presumably at government expense. Nope. A bill to repeal Obamacare. So what do you do when the homework has to be? The 100 days is, you know, it's an artificial barrier, he said. It's not very meaningful, he said. Somebody put out the concept of a 100-day plan. You put it out! The somebody with the concept of a 100-day plan was you! That's your name, moron! Right there, moron! T-R-U-M-P, moron! So what do you do then when your denial that there was homework also fails utterly? Well, you claim the teacher got the due date wrong. The 100 days is just an artificial barrier. The press keeps talking about the 100 days. I've only been working on the healthcare, you know, I had to get a little grounding, right? Healthcare started after 30 days, so I've been working on healthcare for 60 days. We're very close. Ah, see, that's it. This isn't really 100 days. This is only 60 days. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying calendar? If ever you needed additional confirmation that this man's brain does not work right, there it is. And don't forget, since he claims this is not really 100 days, but only 60, we get to flood Twitter again and congratulate him on even more failure on the 100-day mark in alternate facts land, which I calculate to be Thursday, June 8th. Mark your calendars, unless by then he's ordered that we change all the calendars, which would make that date Trump Day, the 3rd of Trumpvember. Resist. Peace.
Okay, so all jokes aside, Village, you guys just heard that piece. Keith Olbermann, I'm not going to sit up here and say he's dead on, but the point of the matter is, President Trump made these campaign promises, right? And there are things that just are not getting done, flat out not getting done. And so when I look at the overall grade, his overall grade, I have to look at, one, what has he done? What is he trying to do? And truth of the matter is, will it ever get accomplished? Now, my overall grade for him is a D, and here's why. I understand what he's trying to do, but the simple truth is the House, the Senate, are majority Republican. At this point, I kind of don't understand what the holdup is. Now, if these things were legitimate legislation, then I believe it would have passed, right? But the ugly fact is that it's not very good written legislation. If you look at the repeal and replacement of Obamacare, you take a really good look at that. And I'll talk about some stuff later on in the show about the repeal and replace and what's going on behind the scenes. But overall, I have to give this man a D. I can't sit up here and give him an A, a B, a C. I'm not going to give him a complete failure. I mean, at the minimum, we have a Supreme Court justice, which is subject to much scrutiny, but I will at least give him that. He got a Supreme Court justice in there. May not have been who it's supposed to be, but the job is done. It's the position is filled, nevertheless. So with that in mind, Village, like I said, I give the man a D, but could it easily have been an F? Most definitely, right? We went from Mexico is going to pay for the wall to now we're probably going to pay for the wall. The American people will more than likely have to pay for this wall. And I'm totally against paying for it. I get why he wants it up there, but I don't think it's going to have the effect that he believes. So There's a lot going on here as to why I'm giving him the D grade. I'm not going to give him an F. Like I said, he's got a Supreme Court justice nominated. And, excuse me, Village, and put in. But overall, his overall score, everything he's done with the Republican Senate and House, definitely leads me to believe that this man has definitely not lived up to what he said he can do. And so with that, let's go ahead and move on here to this next to the next part of what the Trump here. Now, one of the things that I was thinking about in regards to what the White House is trying to do, and I look at the Flynn documents, right? The House Oversight Committee, Flynn might have broken the law. We don't know for sure. And this is why we have what's called investigations, right? Things are investigated. Things are looked at deep and hard, right? Things are looked at deep and hard on stuff like this. In a story that I came across, Village, forgive me, I must have had a late night. Didn't realize that. President Donald Trump's former national security advisor did not properly disclose payments from Russia and may have broken the law. House Oversight Chairman Jason Chevets and ranking Democrat Elijah Cummings said Tuesday after reviewing Michael Flynn's application. As a former military officer, you simply cannot take money from Russia, Turkey, or anyone else. And it appears as if he did not take that money. Forgive me. It was inappropriate, and there are repercussions for the violation of the law, Chevets said. Chevets and Cummings announced their findings to reporters on the Hill following a classified gathering on the committee in which they reviewed documents that Cummings described as extremely troubling. I see no data to support the notion that General Flynn complied with the law, Chevets said, referring to whether Flynn received permission from the Pentagon or the State Department, or that he disclosed the more than $45,000 he was paid for a speech to give to RTTV in Russia. Chevets said that the committee will send a letter now requesting information from the Inspector General at the Department of Defense and the Comptroller of the U.S. Army to determine how they will handle news of Flynn's security clearance. One action, he said, may be seeking repayment of money from Flynn, possibly in the tens of thousands of dollars. So the fact that they're trying, that the Trump administration is literally trying to bury and hide all this stuff and take it from there, it says a lot about the administration itself. Now, again, this is all speculation. This is why you have investigations. Just as when the all the backlash came from Hillary's emails and pretty much proved nothing. It was all just to have it investigated. I have a real hard different opinion on that. But hey, today we're going to go with investigation and to see if there was anything credible in those emails that could have slammed her. And since there wasn't, you know, it is what it is. But the same thing it can be said for Flynn. This is an investigation. You don't have to like the investigation. You don't have to agree with it. But if it's fair for one, it's fair for all. So this needs to be looked into. And if there proves to be any kind of ties for Russia and dealing with illegal money paid and helping President Trump get elected, then I think this investigation needs to dig deeper. I think it definitely needs to be dug deep into, and we need to figure it out and go from there. All right. So that's the end of that. It's like I said, I don't want to dig too hard. I just, the far as the What the Trump segment today, I just think the man needs to be investigated further. I think this totally needs to be investigated. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You cannot look at the evidence that's right in front of you. And even if you say it's all circumstantial, it's still circumstantial evidence that needs to be looked at. Now, if you have a problem with that, then you should have had a problem with them investigating Hillary Clinton for emails. That should have been a red flag as well. All right. So let's go ahead and let's jump into this. Some current events here. Most definitely here. Let's see here. And I don't want to do that one yet. Let's go ahead and do something here, some local stuff. Now, I'm a local San Diego guy. Well, not local for some of you, but I'm a San Diego guy. Some big news for the LGBT transgender community here in San Diego. Truth of the matter is, hold on here, let's see here. And we're still live, still recording. There's been a scholarship offer for students who identify as being a member of the transgender community. Now, this is happening out of MiraCosta College. They're going to be offering, basically, if you identify as a transgender student, you can be eligible for a potential scholarship. Now, there's, for some people, there's some mixed emotions. I obviously read the article posted by 10 News San Diego. And the ugly part about all this is those that feel left out. Now, one of the things that you have to consider, there's scholarships for everyone. You know, you have the United Negro College Fund. You have college funds that are specifically for Christian schools and things of that nature. Native Americans, everyone has their own scholarship, right? And so here it is. I don't see the big ordeal or the big grand picture behind people getting upset over transgender students basically getting, in a sense, a scholarship that's designed for them. You know, we have scholarships designed for Native Americans, Christian, whatever, female, whatever the case may be, right? There's scholarships for everybody. And so with that in mind, I don't see the big deal with somebody saying, hey, let's offer this group a scholarship. Like, I don't see the big problem with that. And the scholarship is not like it's a huge scholarship to a major university. It's at MiraCosta College. It's a junior college. It's junior college. It's not a big, it's not like it's the University of Tennessee or University of wherever, right? And even the money that's available, I mean, any money for college is amazing. It'll provide $1,000 for a student every year. So it's not a huge amount, but $1,000 at a junior college, that's actually, you know, that would pretty much take care of you. Because I've actually been the junior college route. I graduated from another junior college right here in San Diego, Grossmont College. And, you know, and I went from there and went on and got my bachelor's degree. So this story essentially is really about inclusion for me. If there's scholarships for Black, if there's scholarships for white, Christian, whatever you want to say, if there's scholarships for Native Americans, if there's scholarships for whatever the case may be, why can't we just add this as another one? Because there is a high number of transgender students, you know, that go to school. So why can't they get the same benefits? All right? And that's just my thoughts on that. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one here. Let's see what else here. All right, so let's talk about this superbug that hit New York and New Jersey. Now, I came across this article last week, but it didn't, you know, it was in New York, and I don't think I just saved it and was like, okay, I'll just read it later. But I actually sat down and read this thing, and I'm like, whoa, this is definitely something that is definitely going to need some attention. This article was posted April 26, or a couple of days ago. New York, a superbug fungus is emerging as a new menace in U.S. hospitals, mostly in New York and New Jersey. First identified in Japan in 2009, the fungus has spread to more than a dozen countries around the globe. The oldest of the 66 cases reported in the U.S. dates back to 2013, but most were reported in the last year. The fungus called Candida auris is a harmful form of yeast. Scientists say it can be hard to identify and with standard lab tests. U.S. health officials sounded alarm last year because two of the three kinds of commonly used antifungal drugs have little effect. "It's acting like a superbug bacteria," said Dr. Paige Armstrong of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So this is serious here, Village, if you think about this. Now, when you're looking at superbugs, right, we're looking at things that literally we're trying to figure out, well, we need a new form of medication, a new way to fight this, right? And that's the problem with superbugs, these super funguses, whatever you want to call it, right? It's not so much the fungus, but how quickly it spreads and how we're going to fight it. And that's what people, I think, fail to think about is, oh, we have this superbug. Okay, yeah, great, alarming, but what do we do to fix it? What do we do to get rid of it? That's the most important piece of all this, all right? So I definitely want people to stay up on that, keep following, and definitely the Village will even revisit this one because, you know, we're talking about New York and New Jersey. That's just right across the country. How long before it spreads to Kansas and then Colorado and then Washington State, California, Nevada, things like that. So just, you know, keep this in mind, guys. Remember that you guys heard about it here, okay? All right. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here. And this is another one that I found interesting, right? Republicans want to exclude themselves from the latest healthcare updates, for lack of a better phrase. Let me see here. Here we go. Here's the article. So Republicans exempt their own insurance from the latest healthcare proposal. Republican legislators want to keep popular Obamacare provisions for themselves and their staff. This is an article that I got on Vox.com. Okay, so here's an update to this story here. So originally, yes, the Republican Party was, or Republican members of Congress and everything were trying, or forgive me, Village, House Republicans were appearing to try to exempt themselves from the latest healthcare updates and plans and things of that nature. Well, the update to this story is after Vox reported this story Tuesday, Representative Tom MacArthur, Republican out of New Jersey, released a statement saying he would close this loophole. Okay, well, that's good to know. But here's the biggest thing here. Prior to the update coming out, right? Why is Obamacare, some of the provisions in Obamacare, okay for you, but not okay for everybody else to receive, right? This is healthcare for the people. So, with that in mind, what makes it so bad for everyone else, but makes it okay for you? And that's what people need to think about. It's when you see Senate, Congress, they're like, look, we got to keep this in play for us and our staff, but the rest of the world can't get it, or the rest of the U.S. can't get it. That's something you guys really need to think about, right? These stories, these things are all over the internet. They're so easy to find, so easy to just type in and look up for yourself. Even if you're not part of the rumor mill and things of that nature, you can still get up and go and look for these things yourselves. So I encourage you guys to go and do so. Matter of fact, I think I will post this link to Welcome to the Village. And yeah, we'll go from there. So I want people to read this and understand what's going on. All right. So I'm definitely going to hold on to that and make sure that you guys definitely get a hold of this here. All right. So let's go on to some knee-jerk reaction type stuff. Let's look at some knee-jerk reaction here. Now, this next story here, it kind of threw me. Just the title alone threw me. Right? It says Twitter employee complains about being broke on a $160,000 salary, and he's not lying. Okay. So before I jump to conclusions, I open up the story. And I read the article. And before you guys jump to any conclusions about this, because I'll post this article as well on Welcome to the Village Facebook page, I want you guys to read the article. The article is the big piece about all this here. So let's read a little bit here. An anonymous 40-something-year-old Twitter employee has come under fire after telling reporters that he can't afford to live on his $160,000 annual salary. The New York Daily News tore into him, referring to him as a beleaguered techie, not sure what that means, who bemoaned his six-figure salary in a trend piece for The Guardian. He quoted saying, I didn't become a software engineer to be trying to make ends meet, he told reporters. The unnamed software engineer lives in the Bay Area, and San Francisco is notorious for its ruthless housing market. In fact, San Francisco is considered one of the most expensive cities in the United States to live in. The median rent price is $3,320 per month for a one-bedroom apartment and $4,430 for a two-bedroom. You know, truth of the matter is, I do kind of get where this guy is coming from here. I definitely understand where he's coming from. Could he move and work somewhere else? Yeah, he could, but home is where the heart is. You know, we don't argue with people, you know, or we do argue with people that live in the country. How we try to get them out of the country and moving along and this is that and the other, right? Well, this person here, he's happy where he's at. He just wants to be able to afford where he lives. And I can understand that. And there, and the rent price in California, let me tell you, as someone who used to pay rent just up to 3 years ago, let me tell you, rent in San Diego is on the rise. I cannot imagine what rent is like in San Francisco. I got a few friends that live up there. They love it. They're not going to leave. They'll pay the high rent and deal with it. Roger that. No problem. But I do understand where this man's coming from. Now, you may not agree with what he's saying. You may not even agree with how he's presenting his argument. But nevertheless, it's his argument. And I do understand his argument. So I definitely will be posting this one as well. And we'll go from there. You know, we can discuss it on the Facebook page as well. If you guys don't get to hear the podcast. All right. So let's go ahead and let's see what else is going on in the world here. Some knee-jerk reaction. Okay, so this is another one that I wanted to discuss. And this is really just disheartening that this is even a thing. Yeah, here, let's talk about this here. A new disturbing sexual trend called stealthing, raising huge concerns. Yeah, I would imagine so. Let me read this to you guys. Out of Washington, a disturbing new trend called stealthing is making its way into bedrooms nationwide, but there's nothing sexy about it, and it can be even dangerous. Stealthing is when a man secretly removes his condom during sex without telling his partner, and without their consent. The men are then describing their account of it on social media, leaving their partners humiliated and confused. According to DC Rape Crisis Center Executive Director Indira Henard, she believes it's rape because there is no consent. And if there is no consent, then it is rape. Henard said victims of this sexual trend started calling their hotline a couple of months ago, and the calls have picked up in the last 30 days. She said most of the people they are seeing affected are college students. We are getting a lot of hotline calls as well as folks who are coming in for counseling, particularly our college-age students who are experiencing this, Henard said. The biggest obstacle for victims is stealthing is not legally defined as rape in the U.S. court system. College students we spoke with at American University and Howard University in Washington, D.C. had mixed reactions about stealthing. Most agreed that removing a condom without consent and posting about it online is some type of violation. To me, that is a form of rape, says sophomore John L. Parker. I don't think it's okay in any form ever, said junior college student Andrew Everston. I think it's a violation of consensual sex. 100% agree with this guy here. So what you're doing essentially is you're going in protected and then you're removing the condom. Guys are removing the condom and continuing the sexual act. Not only is that rape, that can be considered attempted murder. Because when you put on a condom, there is a barrier of protection between you and the person that you're with, right? So if that person takes it off, me personally, I would think that this person has something and they're angry that they have it and they're trying to spread it, right? That is what I initially would think. So to me, this could be considered an attempted murder, something like that. Now, is that extreme? Yes, of course it's extreme. But it's also extreme to remove a condom while you are having sex with someone. That is absolutely wrong on many levels. And that should be looked at further as rape. It should be classified as rape. And if it is, then the person should obviously do their time, pay their debt to society, and move on with their lives, right? But the ugly, ugly reality about all this is, I just can't understand the mindset, the logic behind, let me take this condom off during the act, other than you're trying to purposely spread disease. You're purposely trying to get this young lady pregnant, right? So just something to think about, Village. Just something to think about, okay? So with that, let's move on here. Not going to do any Village Idiots today. I think I'll just go ahead and hold on to the Village Idiots because, well, truth of the matter is, I don't feel like doing them right now. It's just me. And that's that. So Village, with that in mind, you guys have a great day. We love you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Bye.